Welcome to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and joining me today is Giannis Giannis. In this episode, we're going to be analyzing the breaking news for Fulham, the two signings that they made today, which are Jean-Michel Seri and Maxime Le Marchand. On top of that, we also have some other Fulham-related topics that we'll be discussing as well, but we have to really talk about the breaking news of these two Fulham signings. Before we do that, I have to welcome my co-host back to the show, Mr. Janaeus. How you doing? Are you in a good mood? I know I am.
Is Darren Bent coming back? Because I was hoping he's coming back to us because I love him and I miss him. I'm ecstatic, Russ. I really am. And you know what? I needed a pep. I needed a bit of a pep, and I think all, you know, Fulham fans probably did after last night's England misery. But there were, you and I talked before the show, there were lots of rumours going around about Seri coming in. And I think what this is doing is it's answering a couple of questions, it's raising a couple more, but it is signalling some big intent from the Khans that,
absolutely,
hey, in the Premier League, we're gonna spend some money, we're going to bring some quality in, and you know what? And I've got to applaud them for getting this over the line and announcing this the day after England get knocked out. I think this is great. I think this is, I don't think there's any lack of coincidence here. I think it's a classy move. And I know that all you and I and everybody around the world is going to be very excited at this news.
Absolutely, Giannis. And the two words that come to mind, you've already talked about intent, and I will say ambition. Both of those words come to mind. When I did a show a couple of days ago with the guys from Friends of Fulham, we talked about this potentially happening. And I thought at the time that even if it didn't happen, it showed ambition. It showed intent. It showed the direction that the Khans are going. Giannis, I said this to the guys, and I'll say it to you before we talk about these two players. Fulham are not looking, in my mind, just to survive in the Premier League. They're looking to compete. And especially the Seri move says that to me. They're not just looking for just players that are just going to get them over the line and keep them in the Premier League. They want to try to compete with everyone, and that's a hard feat, but they're going to try. They're not just looking at it as survival, as maybe many Fulham supporters are in your first year back in the Premier League. Well, let's just survive. The Khans are not looking at it like that, Giannis. Would you agree with me?
Yeah, and I think part of it is because well, there's a few reasons. We've got a small squad right now with all the loanies that have gone back, number one. So, you know, we're short of players. But number two, if you look at the Premier League last year, let's take away the top five, six. And you look at all the teams that believe. Burnley are just maybe the model team in terms of an outstanding coach in Sean Dyche, what he's done with the squad, the investments that the club have made. And they've not had to be too great. But if you look at the teams that finished just above the relegation zone, can we compete with the Huddersfields, the Brightons? The answer is, of course, yes, we can. So you've got to reinvest. And I think that the Khans have noticed, together with Slavisa, that there are some gaps that we've got to really work on. Because if you look at the lineup we put out against Villa at Wembley, okay, players have now gone, but you just, even with that lineup, you have to upgrade to be able to compete. And to me, compete would be middle to lower middle. If you can get to that would be perfect. And Seri is a big, big signing because he'll give us a lot of creativity in the centre of the park. And Le Marchand, you know, has played in Ligue 1 and Ligue 2, and he's got a lot of experience. And they've probably been looking for a replacement who can partner Tim Ream based on the assumption that A, they don't re-sign Thomas Kalas, and B, that Marcelo Giallo is not the answer to the problem.
Right. Very good there, Giannis. We'll be talking about Le Marchand in a little bit because I want to get your thoughts on him. I'll be sharing some information from WhoScored.com just describing him as a player. And I'm going to do that also with Jean-Michel Seri in just a bit too. But I just want to share this with you because, again, I've seen many people tweet about this deal that the footballing community, I think, is shocked by this, that Fulham were able to get this player. He's been linked to Barcelona, Arsenal, Chelsea, so many teams. Fulham got him. And if you're wondering how some people feel about him as a player, I'm just going to read this tweet from this football writer by the name of Robin Bernier. He's a football writer for Goal.com. Okay, this is what he tweeted earlier, and I find just the tweet fascinating. If Fulham FC fans want to know how good new signing Jean-Michel Seri is, Xavi claimed he's a player with Barcelona DNA. 30 million euros seems like a bargain. That's what he tweeted out. We're not sure of the number, but very interesting tweet from him. And I'm just also going to share some information, Giannis, before I get your take on this signing, which I think is unbelievable, about the player. This is from whoscored.com that just tells you a little bit about him. His strengths, very strong passing, very strong at key passes, strong at through balls, long shots, taking set pieces. Weaknesses, aerial duels and tackling. Style of play, likes to do layoffs, does not dive into tackles. So I've just given you some information on Seri, along with that tweet, which I find fascinating. What are your thoughts about the signing? Let's just start right here.
Well, it's an excellent signing, and I know that you're and my little friend David Hulley is probably going to be listening to this. He cracked a joke on Twitter, and I had to have some fun with him when he said that when the last time he'd seen him, was he standing on a wooden box, because he's only 5'6". You know, he's a small little player. But the one thing about Seri is he does have a lot of quality. And when I think of the last 10, 15 years in terms of the creativity and the passing, the one player that for me stands out above all is Moussa Dembélé, who just – he's right. One of those players that, you know, when you think back to how good he was and what a loss he was to us when he went to Spurs, just a massive, massive player. And he's not obviously not as big as Dembélé, but he will bring the sort of craft and creativity that's going to be required to unlock defences. And we've got you know, we should hopefully, you know, with Christie on the right and, you know, the left back hasn't been sorted yet, we should have speed where we can overlap with the flank so that Seri can find the channels. And the reports I read is a very, very accurate passer, which is really in tune with the philosophy of the way we play. Lots of passes during a game. Passing accuracy was the best in the division last year. It should be up there even in the Premier League, to be honest. So it's almost like analytics has played a part here where carry on the philosophy, but just put in an upgrade of a player that will find a player. And so movement off the ball is going to be key. And Seri is, you know, Cote d'Ivoire international. So it's a massive signing. 25 million is a lot. I mean, it has destroyed our transfer record. And we've had a couple of busts, obviously, in terms of that. But he comes with huge pedigree. And I think we've been beneficiaries of incompetence as well here, because if I'm Seri and a club like Chelsea comes knocking, you've got to be interested.
I mean, sure, of course.
Yeah. But the thing is, Chelsea are just, I'm not going to repeat it on the air. You made a phrase mentioned before we went on air, but that just about sums up Chelsea. I mean, you've got a preseason, and they've still got their coach who knows he's going to get fired at any moment. And if I'm Seri, I'm going, well, I don't know what's going to happen there. I don't know if the coach is going to be there. And irony of ironies, on the day that we sign him is the day that Chelsea fire Conte. Yeah. I mean, this is the way that, you know, a club like Chelsea, Abramovich, the owner, deals with his top employees. And it's disgusting. And so we have benefited from our incompetence, because there's been uncertainty around whether Conte was going to be around. Conte, to me, is a top-notch coach. Did wonderful things with that club. But everybody knew he was going to get fired. It was a matter of when. And the players going, well, bugger this. I might as well go somewhere where I know I'm going to start. I know I can contribute. And I'm playing in the Premier League. And it's all good. So we've benefited from that. And it's fantastic. It's about time that we benefited. It's about time that, you know, we've chosen over another team, Russ. I mean, so that's really, really pleasing as well.
It is, Giannis, and it's a four-year deal, and I believe there's also an option for another year. So that's fantastic. It's not a two-year deal. It's a four-year deal. And he signed up along with his niece teammate. We'll be talking about him just a bit. But I also want to share this because our friend Mike Rigg tweeted this out from Bet365, a comparison with Marco Verratti and Jean-Michel Seri in Ligue 1 last year. And I'll just read the tweet because I find this fascinating. And the tweet is, again, from Bet365, Jean-Michel Seri versus Marco Verratti. And it says, better pass completion, more assists per 90 minutes, more chances created per 90 minutes, more key passes per 90 minutes, more duels won per 90 minutes, less defensive errors per 90 minutes. All in favor of Jean-Michel Seri. That, to me, is telling. Yeah, so, you know, listen, we could talk about Ligue 1 not being as a big of league as some of the other leagues around Europe, but it's not a bad league. And for him to have those kinds of stats is wonderful for us to look forward to.
Yeah, I agree. And yeah, and you're absolutely, you've nailed it on the head there, Ross, in terms of Ligue 1 is a quality league. And you've got, I mean, one could argue you've got PSG and the rest. I mean, the only other league where I think a team is so dominant is Juventus. And of course, ironically, Ronaldo goes there. But he's a quality player.
He is.
And I think that's, you know, the Khans have obviously looked at the math as well. I mean, you've got as a Fulham fan, you say, okay, well, you've got all the money that's going to be coming in. Plus, you know about the parachute payments, which have gone through the roof if everything goes belly up, which is great. You've got a good little squad. You now need to complement it. And you look at the loanees and you go, well, where are you going to upgrade? Everything has to be upgradable. I mean, everything has to be upgradable. And you've got a player of creativity there. And some might argue, well, does that put now the onus and a bit of pressure on Tom Kearney? No, it doesn't. It complements. Because with, you know, Kearney's a relatively inexperienced Scottish international. And that tells you how, honestly, backward their thoughts are that Kearney hasn't had more caps for his country. Same with Kevin McDonald. Absolutely ridiculous.
Right.
But then, you know, Seri brings, you know, playing in the African Nations Cup every 2 years, in terms of World Cup qualification, it's very, very tough at continent. It's a very, very tough, lots and lots of rivalries. And don't forget, you've got to be also pretty durable in terms of all the travel to and from. I mean, if you've got a group game in South Africa compared to a group game in Ethiopia or Ghana, you know, it's lots and lots of travel. So, you know, he brings all that quality and international experience. And Ligue 1 is not an easy league. And there are some very, very good players there. Hey, I think I mentioned a few weeks back about, I don't think we're going to get him now because it looks like he's going to Marseille, but Le Marchand's teammate, Mario Balotelli,
right,
who's a free agent now, who's had a very good 2 years and is now going to reap the rewards, and he's back in the Italian national squad. And I'm a huge, as you know, massive fan of Mario. I think he's, you know, just a young kid who's made mistakes, but, you know, you do turn careers around. So if he's done well, you know, and he's turned it around in a tough league, I think it's great. So Seri's going to bring that pedigree, and I think that's nothing but good news for the club.
Absolutely there, my friend. And the way I'm looking at it, he's the centerpiece of what they're going to do for this upcoming season. They first, I think, wanted to sign their key players. They've already re-signed Tim Ream, and then, of course, it starts with Tom Kearney, and hopefully there'll be others to follow. But I think that set what the ambition was. They're going to re-sign and reward their key players, and then they were going to bring in the player that was going to take them to the next level that they feel. That's how I feel. They wanted to get that centerpiece. It's Seri. And the way I'm looking at it, Giannis, is that other players are going to now want to come to Fulham because they see the ambition. Agents are going to be calling Fulham. Well, wow, they got Seri. Well, maybe my player wants to go there. I just think that this sets the tone and changes maybe a little bit how Fulham are looked at in the world of football. You know, we're looked at a certain way. You know, nice little Fulham family club. But this is a showing of ambition that maybe this changes the perception of a potential player that might not have Fulham on their radar. Now maybe they do, Giannis. That's what this deal does for Fulham. It's not just what he's going to do on the field. I think it's going to attract other players to come to Fulham.
I agree. And it's funny. I was I'm still on the, you know, you and I did get on the Facebook groups, and I'm still on the championship banter. I don't know why, but I think it's such a great.
Why are you still on that?
I am, because it is absolutely hilarious. It compared to the Premier League banter group or groups, it is so much funnier. It is, because some of the banter is just, some of it's a little cruel, but it is very, very funny. And I know that one club that's got a lot of stick, but I've got to take my hat off, is Nottingham Forest. Nottingham Forest very quickly have showed huge intent with some of the signings. They have just got off, they've hit the ball, you know, they've hit the ground running, and they've turned themselves really on paper from a lower mid-table team last season to a team that really should be challenging for playoffs, if not in there or scrapping about. And I think it's important. Now, I know that there's going to be a lot of transfers from now till the start of the season. I get that. Two schools of thought. You've got the World Cup, you know, a lot of players there. And then when they finish playing, they've got to get a vacation as well, obviously. So sure. Then when do you make signings? I mean, players like, for example, Jack Wilshere, taking him in his set of crutches to wet Spam. You know, that can be done because he's not at the World Cup. Fair enough. But you've got... you've got other players that are out there who aren't in the World Cup. And that's why, do you wait till late where you get this flurry of signings? Because trust me, after Sunday, the transfer market's going to go absolutely bloody mental.
Oh, absolutely.
Not just here, but the European market is just going to go berserk. Or do you do what Forest did and sign players early? This was beautifully timed because it's just after... Obviously, we got knocked out, although sure. We still got the game on Saturday. But it's two of a number of signings. And I think that you said something to me before that there's still a lot in the works, and I agree. I think a few of the players we thought might come back next year, loanees, will probably now know, because they're now looking at upgrades. There might be a couple that just aren't available. And we've talked before about Matt Target.
Right.
Who we'd love to get back.
Oh, but, I'd love to have him back.
But Bellend Mark Hughes is probably going to make sure that we don't get him.
You said that on a prior show, Giannis.
Yeah, there's no way. There's no way he'll let him. Yeah, he'll sell him to Crawley Town before he sells him to us. You know, for 5p and a bottle of milk before, and that's just his nonsense.
Right.
But I think that if. The players we want, we can't get, like a Target. I'm sure there are already targets, excuse my pun, there are already targets out there that we're focused on to upgrade.
Right.
So it's fun times, and unfortunately for a couple of the players that we sort of like, it's probably going to be their time to go as well. And it's probably sort of just been kicked off by these signings.
Right. And listen, you and I did talk before the show that there were things in the works. What I mean is that there's speculation that Fulham are looking at a few players, and potentially there's a journalist that said that Fulham are looking to get a couple over the line before the window closes. We're talking about that at the very end, because both names are very interesting, and one actually is a left back, so we'll talk about that in just a bit. But Giannis, let's talk about the other signing, and I love the fact that now we have two players from Nice, and this player is Maxime Le Marchand. I hope I'm saying that correctly. And what's interesting about him is that I was doing a little reading on him. I can't remember what side I was on. That last season, he played mostly at left back because they had an injury issue at Nice. But he is really a center back by trade. And I think he's being brought in as a center back. But it's good to know that he can play left back as well. And I'm just going to read a little bit about him, because when I was looking at whoscored.com and what they were saying about him, it sounds like a Savisa type of center back, okay, based on the strengths and the style of play. This is what WhoScored.com says about Le Marchand. Strengths, very strong passing, holding on to the ball, strong at ball interception. Style of play, likes to play short passes. Weaknesses, Giannis? None. That is what WhoScored.com says about Maxime Le Marchand. So I want to get your thoughts on this. I believe he is left-footed. So this makes things interesting with Tim Ream. And like I mentioned, he can play left back as well. So you potentially could use him in two positions if you want. You have a little bit of flexibility. I like this signing, Giannis. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I do too, and it probably closes the door on Thomas Kalas coming back. And I'm not against that either, because again, I'm looking at upgrades, and Kalas did do a good job for us. Don't get me wrong. And Odoi, I mean Dennis Odoi is right there. Is he a potential answer to going at left back? Maybe. I mean, I think that a lot of the troops that took us over the top deserve the chance to get the piece of glory, and Odoi is one of them. And I'm sure there's a thing of loyalty, because Odoi did. I mean, let's not forget the Kalas standing off against Reading, and Odoi came in, did a great job when Kalas was injured. That critical header against Derby at the Cottage, he's done the job that has been asked. Now Kalas has been on loan for what, 8-9 years now, so the question would become, if we wanted to sign him, at what price? And I'm not sure we'd necessarily need Kalas unless we bought him as a depth player. And if that is the case, I would think there are probably better players out there, although Kalas is still young. And then that's the one thing about, he's still a young player. Would it be worth giving, you know, a cheeky bid, putting a cheeky bid in with Chelsea to get him back? But then are you necessarily upgrading, considering when we have to play the cities, United's, right, Tottenham's, Arsenal's, Liverpool's, and Chelsea's of the world? So it's a tricky one, but Le Marchand, if Le Marchand is a Slavica signing, this is great, because they've now got faith. They've got faith in the manager, as they should.
Yep.
And he now wants certain players in, which he should. And this is good for the club. So I think this could mean the exit of Kalas, but then again, Russ, he's not even our player now. So
no, he's not.
I'm sure there are other clubs that have bid. I'm sure there are other clubs that are going to, you know, ask him for loan. Remember the other thing as well, Russ, you know, and Fulham fans, I know, probably already know this. The loan situation changes when we go in the Premier League. We're only allowed loan signings and only a maximum of one from any club. So if you're going to loan two players, even if you're looking at a loan, you really want to get you want them to be impact players. You really don't have a lot of choice, and Kalas really can't be a loan signing if you're only getting two from fellow Premier League clubs. Really, I don't think that works. So we'll see how it goes. There's a lot of business to do, but I've got a feeling that we may well have seen the last of Thomas Kalas in the black and white.
Wow, it's very interesting. And it's funny, Giannis, when I was looking at Le Marchand, I was watching video. I'm sure we'll all watch video of him. And he just looked like a Slavica type of player. So it wouldn't shock me, Slavica's influence on getting this player. I could be wrong on this, but he just seems like his type of center back. What we've seen from, say, Tim Ream, he is different, but I could just see the type of attributes that he offers is what Slavica wants based on his history with Fulham. So I like the signing. Again, it doesn't have to be this huge money signing. It just has to be the right player for to play in Slavica's style. And it's like I said, it's just video. We'll have to wait and see. But based on what I watched, it looks that way. We'll have to see how he fits in. All right, my friend, let's talk about two signings of Fulham players getting new contracts, being rewarded. I talked to the guys or friends of Fulham on this. I want to get your thoughts on it. I already mentioned at the top, I think it's huge that they did this, especially for Tom Kearney, because I think that you had to pay your best player. I think Tom Kearney's your best player. I think you had to give him more money. And then obviously because you got other players coming in, so you want to set him at a certain level. So I want to get your thoughts on the new deals for Kearney and Ream.
Had to be done. You know, Ream was our player of the year. He was absolutely right. Bloody magnificent. Ream was just, how do we manage to hit the bullseye with American players?
We really do.
I mean, have we ever had an American player? And even one, and we let Kavanagh go, and I was even disappointed about that. But you look at Bocanegra and And of course, Brian McBride and Clinton Dempsey and Tim Ream. I mean, these
the only exception I can think of is Eddie Johnson.
Oh, Eddie Johnson. Well, Eddie Johnson played his little part. I mean, he didn't do it, unfortunately. I mean, but he's not a Freddie Adu disaster, although whatever happened to Freddie Adu. But, I mean, he might be the exception, but that'd be it. Having said that, we've struck gold, and Ream was just absolutely magnificent. And Tom Kearney, well, the key for Tom Kearney, I mean, you've got to re-sign him. Is he a best player now? It probably isn't. I'd say Seri is now our best player, to be honest. And that'll tell you everything you need to know. Kearney really blossomed, and clubs like Leeds United must be going, what were we doing? We had him in our books and we let him go. What was going on there? And if he provided he can stay healthy, and that's going to be the other piece, can he stay healthy, you know, get that knee sorted out, then he's going to be a critical part of the lineup, and he's going to get him more caps for Scotland, which he deserves. It's funny, Scotland do have some quality. It's just
they do.
They do. But I don't. They don't. It's all right. They've had their 3 weeks of bashing us and their night of twittering all over. It's actually, to be fair, the Scottish fans, you know, England fans got a lot of ribbing in this World Cup from the Scots, but not as much as the Welsh. The Welsh go, but then. I'll say nothing because I went to a Welsh university and I'll just leave it at that. There's a reason I never went back. Trust me. if you look at that, I mean, the quality that Kearney brings, and to me, he's a future Scottish captain as well. Just sheer quality. You got to re-sign your best players.
Sure.
You know, and it's a massive it's massive intent from the club.
Right.
And it's showing faith. And you're right. You said it again. You nailed it earlier when you said that, you know, you sign players and clubs go, oh, maybe my player can go there. They're going to be lining up.
That's my point in all of this. And it's twofold, Giannis. And that's why I wanted to talk about Kearney and Ream. Because you sign them. And then, of course, there's talk about Fulham signing some other of their own players, Ryan Sessegnon being one of them. And hopefully they will get these deals done. It's important that other players from the outside see that Fulham are rewarding their players. I think that's important because that tells someone that might want to join, hey, I do well for them, I'll be rewarded too. And so that's one thing. It shows how you're treating their players. It really does. That you're treating your own players well, maybe I want to come there. That's number one. It shows intent that way, that we take care of our own. Second way to do that is to bring in a big-time player and show that intent. So you have it coming from two different directions. You have it coming from signing your own players again to new deals, and then you bring in, like I said, the marquee player, and then hopefully others will follow. And then, of course, we've already seen you have Le Marchand, and I'm sure that there are going to be others coming as well. And it just keeps building and building. And my whole thing, Giannis, is to – I think the cons really want to change the perception of Fulham. I think the perception is what it is. You know, we talk about it. You know, listen, it's a nice family club. It is. But they want to compete. All of the things that they're doing right now tell me they're not looking at it like some are looking at Fulham. They want to compete. And I don't know how far they want to take it, but they're in it to compete. And that, to me, just screams with all of these moves, signing their own players, and then these two signings here. They're serious, and other teams need to look out at Fulham now. And, you know, listen, I was on Twitter all morning, and I could just tell you fans from other teams are apoplectic of Fulham making the signing of Seri. They cannot believe it. They are shocked by it. And that's great, and I love that. But I want the perception to slightly change with Fulham, and I think that's partially what the cons are trying to do. They don't want to be put in a box. They want to play outside of their box. And that's what's so exciting about all of these moves. All right, Giannis, we're going to end with a little speculation to end this episode of breaking news. This is not breaking news because this actually happened a few days ago. I'm going to say about 4 to 5 days ago. Dean Jones from the Bleacher Report tweeted out. He also mentioned Seri in this tweet, but he also talked about that Fulham want to get over the line, the signings of Alexander Mitrovic and Ludwig Augustinsson from Sweden, who plays from Werder Bremen, left back. So I thought that was encouraging. Dean is someone that I respect a great deal. For him to put that out there, even on Twitter, I think it's a big deal. So that just tells you that he believes Fulham are going to try to get these two other players signed. Like I mentioned, he also mentioned in that tweet, Seri. Well, that's already happened. So I want to get your thoughts on the speculation of Fulham trying to bring back Alexander Mitrovic. I want this in the worst way, my friend. I want them to bring back Mitro. But I also am fascinated with them trying to sign Ludwig Augustinsson. We were just talking about Matt Target. And here's the thing. I want them to get Matt Target. But at some point, Giannis, you have to move on if you can't get your target. I hate to use that word. You have to go to the next guy. And if they cannot get Matt Target, then you have to find another left back. And I like the fact that there's speculation out there. There's a decent amount on Augustinsson, and it wasn't just from Dean. So I think there might be something to it. I definitely think there's something to Mitrovic. Thoughts on the speculation on these two players?
Well, firstly, have we ever had a player play for Fulham whose first name was Ludwig?
I don't think so.
No. So his nickname's going to be Beethoven if we get him. For sure. It's got to be Beethoven. Nothing else. Even though, of course, yeah, different nationality. Mitra's an absolute key. I mean, all the press speculation has intimated that we're gonna get him.
I hope so.
He's not in Rafa Benitez's Spanish soup, so to speak, and he doesn't want him in. That's fine. So we've obviously got the money. So you know, spend the money. Boom, boom, boom. Now, Beethoven or Augustinsson plays in the Bundesliga. He's, as you said, for Werder Bremen, and he's only 24.
Yes,
which is great.
Yes.
And I thought he impressed at the World Cup for me, because to me he was a very simple player, but he can also play as a left sided midfielder depending on who we're up against. But he's predominantly left. He's left footed, and he's a very solid left back. Now, is he the sort of player that can come in and be a starter in this division? Probably yes. I think that the situation being, and we've talked about our friend Mr. Hughes, he won't sell to us, and this goes back, goes back. It's funny how people bear grudges. It's been several years since Mark Hughes was here, for crying out loud. I mean, but clearly he doesn't drop his little grudges. So be it. And we could put in a good bid for Target, and they'll say no. Of course. There could be the other side where he's seen enough of Target. We said, you know what? I think he should be starting for Southampton anyway.
Right.
And that I'd understand, but I still think there's a bit of sinister stuff going on, which means you've got potentially Odoi playing at left back. And, you know, Odoi to me would be a fantastic depth player.
Right. A squad player
for sure. But to start at left back, I'd be more comfortable. Augustinsson would probably is probably available, and he's probably available at a decent price as well. And I think that what could they be asking? I don't know, maybe 6 to 8 million, maybe more. I don't see any reason why we can't get him. But again, if you look at where we are now, and it's July the 12th, and if you look at the transfer deadline's less than a month away. You know, and the World Cup is going to be ending soon. We have to make it'd be good to make quicker moves, if only because after Sunday, as I said earlier, it's going to be complete bedlam on the transfer market. And if this was a shock, I reckon there might be a bigger shock coming. I think there's a bigger shock coming if Seri was big, and it may not be Mitrovic.
Very interesting.
I'm wondering if. Out there, they have someone lined up who we
so
never
think,
thought.
You think this is just one piece of the puzzle, being Seri? You think that they have other big targets, not just Seri?
Yeah, I do. I wouldn't be surprised if publicly they've talked about they want to get Mitrovic, and boom, boom, boom. But they might. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a bigger striker out there that they got an eye on.
Wow.
And I my first thought was actually, and I'd said it was a Balotelli. I don't think that's going to happen now because Marseille are going to make him their highest paid player. But the World Cup was elevated, and you've got to be careful with World Cups and European Championships because sometimes we found out with Ragnar Sigurdsson, they can turn around and have incredible championships and just come over and play, even you know, for him at championship level and look like a log or sleeping policeman, or a log shaped in the form of a sleeping policeman. But there will be players that show themselves accordingly. We're not going to get players like this, but you know, Ronaldo going to Juventus opens up the door for Mandzukic, for example, as an example. Or you got Higuain that's going to be out there. There are going to be lots and lots of strikers, and it wouldn't surprise me if the Khans are looking at, if you really want to make a coup, a real coup, and somebody wants to come here, getting somebody we never talked about, where we go, holy cow, how did we get this one over the line? So I'm sort of excited. I think there might be bigger.
Do you think there are more shoes to drop here, Giannis?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do, actually.
Well, that's very interesting.
Yeah, I do. I think these are big signings, but the timing is curious. And with, you know, still a few weeks to go, I'm just wondering what is going to come. I mean, I'm excited. We could have a Ludwig in the team.
We could.
This would be.
This is all good stuff there, my friend. Listen, we've done four seasons in the championship. We're coming back to the Premier League. And today was like a statement basically saying, we're back. We're back. Yep. You don't make a signing like that unless you're basically trying to make some kind of statement. That's a statement signing. And that's why I wanted to do this show today. Talk about Sarri and also talk about Le Marchand. But just to further talk about the direction that I think that Fulham are headed, you now believe that they have even larger targets that they're looking at as well, along with Sarri. They've now brought Sarri into the fold, but there might be others on that level, which is interesting that you feel that way. That's not based on any information. It's just a gut feeling you have.
I do.
But I do. What's interesting is, you could be right, because I keep telling people this, that the Khans have serious ambition. They really do. I read those program notes late on in the season. I could just tell by reading it from Shad Khan that they didn't just want to come back to the Premier League. They really wanted to do something in the Premier League. I don't think they just want to talk about survival, surviving relegation like we normally do. That's what people do when their team gets back in the league. It makes sense. You know, you just want to survive the first year. But everything points to me that they're just not looking at it that way. And I admire that, because that's the mentality I think that you need to have. I think you need to be reasonable, but I think you have to believe that you can strive for goals, larger goals than, say, some think that you can. And we'll see where that brings them. But this is actually a very good sign. It's very exciting, Giannis. And I'm glad that I could actually do this show with you, my friend. Thank you for doing this with me.
You more than what, but absolute joy. And you know what? There's now that Sarri has come over, of course he was a signing from OSC Nice. Good club, don't get me wrong. Hey, you look at their lineup, and they've got some very, very interesting players even in that lineup, including my old friend Mr. Balotelli. And I don't know why I keep coming back to him. I don't know why I keep having a feeling. You know, talking about the big signing.
Yep.
You know, we're all assuming, and the public thing has been, you know, that we're going to get Mitrovic.
Right.
I was reading a report about Marseille. We're going to make Balotelli their highest paid player. But what you've heard of Balotelli in the last couple of years is he's still got unfinished business. You know, when he was, I thought, tremendous at City, and then he fell out with Mancini. Yep. And Mourinho called him uncoachable, but then he went to AC Milan and he ended up at Nice. But obviously something happened because Mancini brought him back into the Italian for 4 years of absence. So he's turned his career around, and the lad is 27 years of age. 27. And I keep thinking, I thought about this yesterday, thought, what money could you bet that the Khans could turn around and say, hey, Jean-Michel's here. What about you join him? And with a player who still has some unfinished business to come back to a club that has ambition, sorry, Mr. Bellend Hughes, that does have ambition, and cause mayhem and up his ante and his profile in terms of the Italian national squad. Now that would blow my socks off.
Okay.
That would be now I love Mitrovic, don't get me wrong, Russ.
Yeah.
I really do. But that's why I think I'm just focusing on Balotelli, but that's why I think there are bigger signings potentially in the works.
I see where you're going on that. Let me just stress anyone listening, this is a want of Giannis. There's no speculation on Balotelli with Fulham. Let's just trust that. Okay. This is something that Giannis would like to see, but you're talking big. And like I said, if we're talking about what's going on with the Khans, I understand why you're thinking that way. You're thinking of big name, huge name, that it's not just going to be Sarri. We'll see. And I would invite it at this point, if they could figure out the money and make it work, that everything can still be sustainable. That's great. But I don't own the team, and I just want them to put out the most competitive team that can sustain itself. So if they can figure that out, then bring in the players that you feel you need to compete. And we'll see how it all plays out. But this is exciting times, Giannis, and I look forward to doing more shows. And when we have more breaking news, we're going to do shows like this, because I'm sure there are going to be more signings. So, Giannis, stay by your phone, because you might have to join me again soon.
Russ, just one last thing before you go. I'm just going to announce to all the Fulham fans that live in and around London, unfortunately, with thousands of miles away, that Fulham FC have just made an announcement about, I said that there's going to be like a pop-up in-store player event at JD Sports in Oxford Street in London tomorrow at 3 o'clock, Friday the 13th, no less.
Yeah.
And they just announced that the following players will be there. I suppose there for the event, and I suppose they'll be there for autographs and photos. And the following are going to be there: Ryan Sessegnon, Tom Kearney, Tim Ream, Stephen Sessegnon, and Marlon Fossey are going to be there tomorrow, 3 o'clock. So if you're there, if I was there, I'd be there, but I'm not there. But you, if you're in around London, Oxford Street, JD Sports, get down there, buy your home jerseys. They look lovely. I've just ordered my blue, and I'm delighted it should be here soon. And I will model it on Facebook once I get it. And you're right, Russ. Call me at 3 a.m. if there's a signing. I want to know what's going on. We should have a midnight. You know what we should do one night? We should have a midnight madness show. That's what we should do. A midnight madness show at midnight where, mind you, it'll be 5 a.m. in Britain, but so be it.
Yeah.
And then, get me all excited. Yeah.
I know you are. I know. A midnight madness show. I love it. Well, we might have to consider that maybe. The day before the season begins, maybe we do something like that. That's very interesting, my friend. Okay, great show, my friend. Let's wrap this up. For Jan Janaeus, I'm Russ Coleman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.